Would you pray with me once more? Father, again, we come to you now. We need your help. We come in the name of the one who we just sung, the one who is the desire of nations now because of his work for them and for us. And so, God, we pray that you would come down and you would be with us this morning, that you would speak to us, God, through your word. You've been kind to speak to us. We pray you would do so now. We pray you would open up our eyes to see the glory and the majesty of Jesus, to see the wonder of what he's doing in the world. God, I pray that you would give us a heart for the nations that he has. And God, I pray that you would help us to long and to know his joy deeper. We need your help to do these things, so we ask for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, if you have a Bible, again, I would invite you to take open your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2 is we're going to be spending our time this morning. If you're here with us today and you don't have a Bible, again, you can take up one of the Bibles that's either under your seat or a seat close to you. And our text for this morning on those Bibles is on page 909. Luke chapter 2. Friends, if you're visiting with us this morning, most weeks in our church on the Lord's Day, one of our other pastors, Devin, if he's preaching, we're preaching through books of the Bible. We tend to go through books of the Bible verse by verse. This time of year, at Christmas, this month of December, Advent, leading up to Christmas, we've taken a special occasion to look at some different texts in God's Word that shine the spotlight on the Lord Jesus in a special way. We're going to do so again this morning with God's help. So Luke chapter 22. Our text for this morning is going to be Luke chapter 2, verse 25, and we're going to be spending most of our time from verse 25 all the way up to verse 32, actually. Verse 32. To supply some of the context around this passage, though, friends, we're actually going to read the entire chapter of Luke up to verse 35. So if you'd begin reading Luke chapter 2 with me, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, he said, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior is born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." And when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. And when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to perform him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and his mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Friends, I think that there's really in the verses that we're going to focus on primarily today, verses 25 to 32, really a main central idea in the text. And that idea is that the Messiah is God's salvation. He is a light to all peoples and to the glory of Israel. The Messiah is God's salvation. He is a light to all peoples and glory to Israel. As we work through our text and we unpack that main idea, I think we could, inside that idea, kind of even break it down into three sub-points. These will be the things that will help guide us as we move through our text today. The first one is this: God keeps his promises to his servants. God keeps his promises to his servants. The second one is this: God shows his salvation in Jesus, the Messiah. God shows his salvation in Jesus, the Messiah. And last, the Messiah will be a light to all peoples and glory to Israel. The Messiah will be a light to all peoples and glory to Israel. Let's begin working through that first sub-point. God keeps his promises to his servants. God keeps his promises to his servants. Friends, if you go deep into this book, one of the things that becomes so apparent as you study the Bible is that the God of this book loves keeping his promises. He loves keeping his promises. He keeps his promises to Zechariah according to the birth of John the Baptist. We see that earlier in Luke chapter 1. You may go home and read that later. Zechariah was old. His wife was an old lady, and yet she bore a son. And now we see it with Simeon. Read verse 25 with me again. "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple." So here we meet a first century Jewish man named Simeon. And we see that Luke, the writer of this gospel, we see that Luke recognizes Simeon as a righteous and devout man, to use his words. In other words, Simeon is an honorable man. Simeon is a godly man. Simeon is a man who seeks after God. He's a man who loves God. And though Simeon is clearly a man of God, nothing in our text indicates that he was a religious leader. He's likely not a priest. No, Simeon is an ordinary Jew of extraordinary faith. Simeon is an ordinary Jew of extraordinary faith. New Testament evangelical scholar Daryl Bach points out, quote, "Simeon is presented as a simple man, a layman, not a priest, who dwells in Jerusalem." And outside of what Luke shares with us in these verses, friends, we really don't know much, if anything else, about Simeon. He may well have been an older man. That would certainly make sense when we read Simeon's comments about being dismissed by God in peace or being ready to die. That sounds like a man who's at the end of his life. But there's nothing in our text that explicitly assures us that Simeon was an old man. But he probably was old. Regardless of his age, there are a few things that we do know about Simeon. Namely, that he is a man of sincere faith and great hope in the Lord. He's a man of sincere faith and great hope in the Lord. What does Luke mean in verse 25 when he says that Simeon was looking forward to Israel's consolation? What does Luke mean? I think he means that Simeon was looking and longing for the day when God would start bringing about all that he had promised to the Jews, all that he had promised to Israel. Simeon was watching and waiting for the day when God would send his Messiah to make everything right with this world. Or as Tom Schreiner puts it, Simeon was, quote, waiting for God to fulfill his covenant promises to Israel. Luke teaches us another important thing about Simeon at the end of verse 25. Luke writes, and the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit was on him. What does that mean? What does it mean that God's Spirit is on Simeon? By saying that the Holy Spirit was on him, or your translation may say upon him, Luke is saying that the Holy Spirit is preparing to work through Simeon. It means that God is preparing to speak through Simeon. And the Holy Spirit does speak. He does speak through Simeon, doesn't he? But before the Spirit speaks a word through Simeon, again, he speaks a word to Simeon. Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. This is a precious promise that God gives to Simeon. Think about what Luke is telling us here. God, the Holy Spirit, blesses Simeon with a special and unique revelation. This is not God's normal way of speaking to us today. Now God today speaks through us through his word, doesn't he? But here, God the Spirit reveals something special to Simeon. God tells Simeon, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah I am sending. You will see him with your own eyes. You will see him. What a promise that is. What a hope that God gave to Simeon. So the Spirit of God makes this glorious promise to Simeon, and then the Holy Spirit leads Simeon into the temple. And this is where we see God keep his promise, don't we? Read the second part of verse 27. When the parents brought the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, so Jesus' parents, again, Jesus has already been circumcised according to Jewish law, and so his parents, as obedient Jewish parents, have Jesus circumcised, and we see how Joseph and Mary, they're bringing baby Jesus to the temple to do what? To be dedicated to the Lord. And there in the temple, they meet this man. They meet this righteous man, Simeon. And it's if you know this story, it's a glorious meeting, isn't it? What this scene truly looked like outside of what the text says, only the angels know. But can't you just almost see it? The Spirit of God moves Simeon to the temple. This Jerusalem man of God, probably well advanced in years, who has been to the temple probably so many times, he shuffles in. Perhaps some people in the temple recognize him. Maybe they walk over to greet him. And Simeon smiles, but he doesn't stop to talk today. He looks different today. His countenance looks different. His gaze seems focused. Simeon has a look about his wrinkled face, the look of a man who is searching for something or someone. And we can almost hear his heart whisper, where is he? Where is he, Lord? Is he still here? And then he sees them. He sees them, a young mother and her husband, and she's holding a baby. And by this point, Mary and Joseph are perhaps becoming less and less surprised by people who want to meet their son. In fact, fewer and fewer things are probably surprising them these days. I mean, think about this. An angel has already visited Mary. An angel has visited Joseph in a dream. Mary and Joseph have already entertained a house full of shepherds within an hour of their son's birth. And now Mary sees this man, probably an older man, walking towards her. And he's probably smiling a big smile. Maybe he has tears rolling down his cheeks. And as Simeon stands before this newlywed couple, he looks at Mary almost to ask, is this him? Is this the one? Perhaps something like that happened. Here's what we know did happen. Verse 28. Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Do you hear those words? Do you know what those words sound like? Those are the words of a happy, happy man. Those are the words of a man who is filled with joy. Only God knows what other thoughts and words of praise were rising up from Simeon's heart. But when you hear Simeon say, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised," do you hear those words? Do you hear what Simeon's saying? He is saying, "You did it. God, you did it. You promised I would see him, and now I see him. I've seen the Messiah, this offspring through whom you promised Abraham all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The prophets all told us he would come. Isaiah told us of him. Micah told us of him. Ezekiel told us of him. And now he's here. He's in my arms. I have your promised Messiah. I can't believe I'm holding him. You have kept your promise to me, O God. O God, I'm ready to die now." That's the words of a joyful man. Christian, God may never speak to you through the Holy Spirit the way he spoke to Simeon. In fact, I think it's likely that he won't. But God has spoken to you through his word and speaks to you through his word even today. God has given you a treasure trove of promises in this book. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Apostle Paul assures the Christians of Corinth, "Every one of God's promises is yes in him," talking about the Lord Jesus. Every one of God's promises in him is yes. It's yes. Are you trusting in the promises that God has made to you, just as Simeon delighted in the promises that God made to him so long ago? We have not seen Jesus as Simeon saw him on that day, but a day is coming. A day is coming when you and I will behold that newborn king. Now is the risen and reigning king, and we will see him as he is now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, John writes, "Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is." That is the vision of the Lord Jesus that you and I, if you're trusting in Christ, that is what we look forward to. That is what our hope is. God kept his promise to Simeon, and God keeps his promises to his servants. That leads us to our next point. God shows salvation in Jesus, the Messiah. God shows salvation in Jesus, the Messiah. In verse 30, what is the next thing that Simeon says after thanking God for keeping his promise? "For my eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen your salvation. You've already heard Mary and Joseph's baby be called a Savior earlier in this same chapter. What does the angel of the Lord say in chapter 2, verse 10? "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." A Savior was born for you, the angel says to those frightened shepherds. And now Simeon cries out to God, "My eyes have seen your salvation." They've seen your salvation. Salvation. What salvation? Salvation for what? A Savior for whom? Zechariah says it in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. He says, "And you, child," speaking about his son, John the Baptist, you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give His people knowledge of salvation. Through what? Through the forgiveness of their sins. Through forgiveness of their sins. The salvation that Simeon praises God over, that's it. This is a child that will solve the world's deepest problems. This is a child whose life and death will one day be offered up as a payment for sins and for sinners like you and like me. That's the kind of salvation that Simeon is rejoicing over as he holds baby Jesus in his arms. I can't improve upon the sweet words that the angel of the Lord speaks to Joseph in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, what does the angel say to Joseph in that dream? He says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. That's the salvation that Simeon rejoices to see. This Messiah has come, not to just restore Israel to greater prominence that she has not yet known. This baby boy has come to save his people from their sins. From their sins. For my eyes have seen your salvation, Simeon says. Simeon knows that this Messiah has come to forgive people, to grant pardon. And then Simeon knows that the saving work that this child has been born to do is not just for him, and it's not even just for the nation of Israel. It is a work of salvation that is for all nations. For all nations. Brothers and sisters, Christian, does God's salvation fill you with joy? Does it fill you with the same kind of joy that it filled Simeon? I pray that it does. That leads us to our next point. The Messiah will be a light to all peoples and glory to Israel. The Messiah will be a light to all peoples and glory to Israel. Look again at verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. So here Simeon confirms what Luke has already said about him in verse 25, namely, that he's what? He's a righteous and devout man. Think about this. Simeon gives us a glimpse of his righteousness in what? Is in his devotion to God, in his the way in which he knows and has studied and been exposed to God's Word. And the place in God's Word, the Old Testament text that Simeon, in his praise to God, looks back to, comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, verse 6, records the words of the Lord who declares, it is not enough for you to be my servant, raising up the tribes of Jacob and restoring the protected ones of Israel. I will also make you a light for the nations to be my salvation to the end of the earth. That's exactly what Simeon draws upon when he cries out to God in verse 31. In verse 31, he says, you've prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles. If you're new to the Bible, friends, that word Gentiles in the New Testament, that just means non-Jew. Most of us in this room today, we're Christian. If you're a Christian today, it's because of verses in the Bible like this. There are promises that have been made, not to God's old covenant people, but to his new covenant people, people from all nations, people from non-Jewish ancestry. That's what this baby boy will be, Simeon is saying. He will be a light, not just for Jews, but for Gentiles. He will be the salvation, not just of Israel's nation, but of all nations. These words from Simeon concerning the promises of the Messiah, I think they also echo the Apostle Paul's words near the end of his life. Luke, who records the words of Simeon here in chapter 2, also records the words of Paul in the final chapters of another book, the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 22, verses 22 to 23, Paul testifies before King Agrippa. And he says in verse 22, to this very day, I've had help from God, and I stand and testify to both small and great, saying nothing, other than what the prophets and Moses said would take place, that the Messiah would suffer, and that, as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to our people and to the Gentiles. And to the Gentiles. So the same truth that Paul was willing to live for and to die for is the very truth that Simeon rejoices over before his death. And this Messiah's saving work, you got to know this today, Christian, it's way bigger than just Israel. Here's one of the reasons it's important for Christians. As I've said in recent weeks, Christmas has so much to do with global missions. So much to do with it. If you don't get your heart around the nations the way God's word does, and you're a Christian, there will be an emptiness. There will be an incompleteness about you and your life. Do you know that today? That's true today if you're a non-Christian too. You were made to care about this. You were made to love this. You were made to long for God's glory in Jesus Christ, to go to the nations, the places where Christ has not yet been named. Don't you hear what Simeon says in verse 31? You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples. This Messiah is for all peoples. Jesus is for every tribe. He's for every tongue. He's for every nation. He is a light for the Gentiles. He's not just for Israel. God has purchased a new covenant people with the blood of his very Son. Do you long to have the same joy for the nations that Simeon has? Do you long for the nations to know the Messiah as Simeon does? I pray that you do. Oh, how I pray that the Lord will fill this church with that kind of joy. So Christmas has huge global implications for Christians, but it also has implications for people who are not yet Christians. That's important for everyone here today. This is important to everyone in this room, no matter who you are. Especially if you're not yet a Christian. Simeon prayed to God in verse 30, says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." The salvation that Simeon rejoiced in is the salvation that you and I must also rejoice in. Friend, have you seen his salvation? Do you know it? Are you trusting in Jesus? Jesus says, speaking of himself in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a ransom for many." That's what Christmas is all about. Whenever you read a verse, a statement from Jesus saying why he has come, that's a verse about Christmas. Christmas is the celebration of why Jesus has come. And Jesus himself says, "I have come not to be served, but to serve." And the greatest act of his serving work is what he did for us on the cross. That's what Christmas is pointing to. The little baby boy born in Bethlehem did not stay in that manger for long. We've already seen his parents bring him to the temple. He had a life to live, he had work to do, and he had a death to die. That's what we celebrate in the good news of the gospel. The gospel is a message of what Jesus came into this world to do. Hear this today. If you're not a Christian, especially if you'd say, "I'm not. I'm here today maybe because somebody in my family brought me to maybe make somebody in my family happy." Hear these words today. This is what Christmas is all about. It's not about what's going on in retail in the world. It's not about Santa Claus. This is what it's about. God, who created this world, everything around us, and declared it good, and created you and I and every human being in this world, and declared us good too with it as part of his creation, would be right not to let us live with him, but to judge us. The Bible says that the wages, the payment for our sin, is death. Friend, you and I are sinners. We have sinned. We have broken God's law in our first father Adam, and every single person in this room and in this world continues, because of the curse of sin, to live a life of disobedience and of sin. And the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christmas is this, that rather to leave us in our sins, to die in our sins, God, because of his loving kindness and his mercy, he sent his son Jesus. He sent him into this world as a baby, as we've read about, to live a life of obedience that you and I should live, but we don't, and to die a cruel death on the cross, taking on the full wrath of God that you and I deserve, but we won't have to if we trust in him. Friend, if you will look to the risen King, if you will look to Jesus, if you will throw yourself at his mercy, his work for you on the cross, and trust in him and believe in him, you have the assurance of God's word that he will save you. You'll be able to say with Simeon that he is the joy of your salvation. I pray that you will today. There's nothing more important in this world that you will ever do. The baby that Simeon holds in his arms is the one who holds the entire universe in his hands. And if you don't know him, and if you trust him today, I promise you, this will be the sweetest Christmas of your entire life. And you'll have nothing but sweet Christmases after this. I pray that you will know the joy that Simeon knew. I pray that you're trusting in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you that Jesus has come. We thank you, just as Simeon knew us, a unique joy of holding and seeing Jesus. Father, we will one day even know a greater joy of seeing him in all his splendor and his glory, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done for us. Father, we thank you that he came to live and die for us in our sins. Oh God, how I pray that every single person in this room would know the true meaning of Christmas. I pray that they, if they have not, that they would throw themselves at the mercy of Jesus, who stands waiting even now with his arms open to them. And God, for those of us who love Jesus and are trusting in him by your grace, I pray that you would, through your grace, enlarge our hearts even greater to be excited and thrilled about and to long to partner in new ways and to pray about the work that you're doing among the nations, to take your gospel to all the Gentiles, to be a light to the Gentiles. Oh, how I pray that we would get to be part of that great work that's going on. God, we thank you that because of what your Son has done for us, we have life in him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.